City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Steven Rader.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming.
American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
Queercast show number 280, and part of a two-parter with Steven Rader and me here at The Bagel. I'm Amy Matheny.
I'm Steven Rader.
And we're hanging out at The Bagel.
The Bagel.
It's the Jewish deli right here in the middle of Boys Town.
That's why you put us.
Yes. This do something Methodist or whatever the hell we are, Baptist.
Oh my God, of
In the middle of some matzah and some challah bread. That's what I like to call it. The challah bread.
God.
You know, I used to live in the Lakeview neighborhood. For those of you not in Chicago, it's, you know, called Boys Town, and it's the gayborhood. When I moved here, it wasn't quite so, it was just getting there.
The alleys were. Trust me.
But it'd been, you know, I used to come down here, but I lived in a high rise. My parents were terrified for me to live anywhere that wasn't kind of hermetically sealed when I moved here. So they were very sweet. For the first year, they helped kind of support my rent. Not fully. Well, actually, yeah, probably fully the first year I moved here, which was a genius gift. But they were just terrified of me moving to the big city. So I lived in this high rise, and it was like me. Like, there was nobody like me. There were no single women, I don't believe, living in this high rise. It was like, it was 65% older Jewish couples. Ha! 25% gay white men.
Ugh.
And like me.
You were saved in your mother's womb.
Let me tell you, I was saved in my mother's womb. And the other thing that was fantastic was when I go to the pool. I was working with Mitchell Fain in the dental office, and I was trying to be an actor. So I had odd hours. So I'd go up in the, we had a pool on the roof. And I would go up to the pool, and it would be like me and a couple of, you know, queer guys who had, you know, were going to work the bars or something, getting their tan on a little bit. And then, like, all these old Jewish women, and they'd be like, they loved me. They would be like, honey, we love you. We've been here before there was a pool. We are older than this lawn furniture. We've been here so many years, you know? And it was just so funny. And I, you know, before I even went to college, I didn't even know anything about Jewish culture. We didn't have any Jewish people in my hometown, which is just shows you how, like,
they're in full makeup, full jewelry, probably.
Yeah.
Heels at the pool. Right?
There was a romanticism to me around Jewish people, because my father had a woman who was a very good friend of his he'd known for many, many years, named Sylvia Samet. Who lived, you know, who had a second home in Myrtle Beach, and I used to go and visit her in college and hang out with her. She drove a Jaguar. I'd never seen anybody have a Jaguar. I thought that was the coolest thing ever. Sylvia Samet.
That is a Bond character.
It is totally a Bond character. She looked like Joan Collins. She was fabulous. She would take me to the beach and, like, in her heels and her gold bathing suit, and like, she would have a shirt on with like a whole tiger with a mane, like a lion's head on the. She was so flashy.
You.
She wore these huge rocks on her fingers, and I'm absolutely indulging every stereotype there possibly is, but she was such a princess. I loved her.
When I went home for Christmas, not this year, but last year, my mother, of course, you know, the minute I get in, she says, "Well, you've of course heard the big problem going on." No, ma'am. Well, you know, the Walmart is asking the greeters to say Happy Holidays. Is that just the most disgusting thing you ever heard in your life? They can't say Merry Christmas. I was like, Mother, you know, some people aren't Christian, and perhaps it's a better... Well, I just think it's horrible. Well, we are not together 5 minutes. We go to the food line. Uh-huh. L-I-O-N. Food line.
Right.
And,
it's gonna be lion.
Food line. Oh, thank you. And so she, thank you. She says to the little boy at the checkout, she says, "Well, honey," he's about 16, 17 years old, "honey, you have you a very Merry Christmas." And he looks at her and he goes, "Or, I might have a Happy Hanukkah." And my mother was devastated.
Oh, you're kidding.
She said, "Oh, I really shouldn't have said that. I maybe offended him." And I was like, "That's why you say Happy Holidays. Why is this such a big deal, you know, south of the Donna Dixon line?"
Yeah.
You know, what's the deal?
Well, I didn't know anybody Catholic either. So I love the romanticism and the culture and the tradition and the ritual of these faiths, like, very much. But if you get a chance to come to Chicago and you get a chance to eat the bagel, it's like the bagel in the New York, the Carnegie Deli. It's where the cross section of Jewish and gay come to meet, because there are like theatrical theater posters all over. And it makes me feel very comfortable. Like, I feel like we should have a booth here, like kind of Perez Hilton has one at the coffee shop. And this should be where we do the Queercast always.
To quote Mel Brooks, "Honey, without Jews, fags, and gypsies, there is no theater." There is no theater.
There is no theater.
I don't know who the gypsies are.
With a side of kraut.
Oh, the kraut will hurt you.
The kraut will hurt me. I love it. So, we have not talked since the big inauguration. And it was quite a day. And
the hat, everyone, the hat.
Aretha Franklin's hat.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I thought she looked great.
I thought she was going to propel and take off. I thought she was going to fly out of there.
I just thought this inauguration was the most exciting thing. I mean, it was a day-long event for me. I kept like recording on my TiVo and then running off to do work and then running down and fast-forwarding, and of course was there at, you know, definitely watching at the moment of the of the swearing in, which the fact that John Roberts had to, that's his name, right, John Roberts? I know it's Roberts. Had to swear him in, it just cracks me up because he's so conservative.
And he couldn't get it right.
God love him.
Faithfully.
Yeah.
My favorite moment of the whole day was Barack Obama coming into the, Barack and Michelle coming into the neighborhood ball.
Uh-huh.
When he hits the microphone and he says, "How good looking is my wife?"
When have we ever heard a president say that?
In our lifetimes, that would have been a laugh line. You know what I mean? If Ronnie had said that about Nancy, think about it, you know? Lyndon had said that about Lady Bird. I mean, think about these things.
Eleanor.
You know? Mamie. These are not good-looking women. But there was something so...
Well, Kennedy could have said it.
Well, you're right.
He was too busy looking at a blonde.
But then they danced, and here's Beyonce singing at last. And Beyonce has this look on her face like, "I can't believe it's Barack and Michelle. I'm singing for Barack and Michelle." And Barack and Michelle just look like, "I can't believe there's Beyonce." I mean, there was such a love in the air. And those two people are so happy and love each other.
Mm-hmm.
They're so together. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It all seemed to fit. It all just seemed to fit. I love it.
He gives me hope for politics again, that hopefully he can stay that person. You know,
I think so.
That like he won't become changed. He will change, let's be honest. Things will change him as we all change. But
well, you can tell there's that moment this week where Biden made some joke about swearing people in twice, and was trying to make a joke about everything. And the press corps, whoever, laughed. And Barack just slightly grabbed Biden's elbow. And it was just this little movement of stop it.
Let's not make light of that.
Stop.
Right.
I mean, it just said who's in charge. This is not going to be a cabinet or an administration where the vice president is definitely the man behind the curtain.
Yeah.
But what about Cheney in the wheelchair?
What a metaphor, right?
Give him a white cat. You know. You know what I'm saying?
And an eye patch.
That was very foolish, Mr. Barack. You know, it was.
Yeah,
crazy.
I thought that was.
Ernst Stavro Cheney is what I'm going to call him. He looked that, or he looked like Mr. Potter from It's a Wonderful Life, you know?
Right, right, right.
He looked so typical and perfect for the entire Cheney.
It was such an interesting thing to see that the vitality and the energy and the passion and kind of the open-armed expansiveness of Barack and the little closed, wilting...
their hearts.
You know, of the administration going out. I thought never before has a metaphor been any stronger. That they couldn't even fake, you know, kind of how low they have sunk.
Oh my God, unbelievably low.
His approval rating is like 17%. They said it's the lowest ever. I mean, how do we not impeach these people? How are they still there?
History will tell. Because we were all afraid of them. They were all afraid.
How cute were the little girls in their jankery coats?
Love those two little girls. Love those two little girls. I loved it. On The View once, Michelle laid a story. I forget which girl it was. Which of the daughters. That someone had asked them, you know, how does it feel when all these people at these rallies are screaming and yelling? What does that feel like? Does it make you nervous? And the little girl, I forget which daughter it was, said, they're not here for me. They're there for him. I just wave. But they're so together. It's like they're not, and they're such real people, and they're allowing them to be real kids. And, and if there are two cuter children on the planet, I want to find
one looks just like him. Malia looks just like him. Mm-hmm. And little Sasha Fierce, she looks just like Mama. And they are hilarious. I mean, they are just like...
well-balanced family.
Yeah, very, very, very cute. And interesting that we've had so many female little children in the White House now for the past almost 20 years. Mm-hmm. We haven't had a young boy in the White House, which I hope is going to shape the future for women in the political landscape. And for, you know, not that the little girls get voted in, but that's the imaging we have. We have...
Oh, yes, thank you.
We have, you know, I mean, even far back, I mean, obviously Reagan was in the middle, but, you know, we have...
Well, Ron Jr., but he wasn't there.
Exactly. But to have Chelsea, to have the Bush twins...
Watch out for that Chelsea.
Uh-huh.
Watch out for that Chelsea.
Alexander Billings wants her to run for president.
I'm telling you, watch out. That girl knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
Watch out.
Yeah.
You know?
It's true.
She's on the right path.
It is true.
Keep your eye on the ball, and the ball is Chelsea.
Now, do you believe anymore that we should have an inaugural poem? There's so much flack about this woman's poem.
Well, I would say no, except all I could think of was, where is the woman who won Gay's Got Talent? And can't we have her write something?
Uh-huh.
You know?
Lucy.
Lucy. Oh, my God. Lucy inspired a room full of drunken gay people to shut up and listen to her wonderfully funny and touching and stirring
And political.
Poem. And political poem. But that was just long enough. That's the good thing about Barack. There's a line from Merrily We Roll Along where... what is it? Charlie says, do you know what true greatness is? It's knowing when to get off.
Yeah.
Knowing when to get off stage. And Barack knows when to get off stage. He knows just how much to say, and that's enough. He doesn't bore us. He doesn't talk too little. He says just enough. And it's the same with, you know, with a poem. It was just went on. And you could feel the entire place go.
Yeah.
And scene.
Where's John Bon Jovi?
Yes, exactly. Hmm. Oh, it was a lovely.
It was very exciting. It was very exciting. Well, one of the most exciting things that we've heard about, and we're going to have more, we obviously have more coming up in the news today, and this is really just like a two-part series of Hot Topic shows for me and Steven Rader, because there's just been so much going on, and we want to comment on it. But immediately we saw the new world that we're in now with the... the second at noon when he was sworn in, the WhiteHouse.gov website instantly changed to this new administration. And this is an administration that understands new media. So as podcasters, we love that. And one of the main things is that they immediately put up his agenda for, you know, all different areas and categories. And within that is included the GLBT community, and it's very exciting as we look over some of the things. Of course, this is stuff he talked about in his platform, but expanding hate crime statutes, he definitely wants to do that, and we saw the Matthew Shepard Act not pass after being so very close. And obviously, I think that is something that immediately could... you know, be something in the next couple of years that he could get back. Definitely, he supports ENDA and wants to continue the, you know, federal...
ENDA with the T, is he saying?
ENDA.
ENDA with the T? I mean, ENDA with transgender?
I think so, yeah. It assumes...
ENDA without transgender to me is like nothing.
Yeah.
Let's just throw it away.
Exactly. But
I'd love to know what that is, if he is for that.
Right. He definitely opposes a constitutional ban on same-sex marriage. And he supports full civil unions. And I'm just curious as to how we continue in this post-Prop 8 world to hold him accountable to this, you know?
How do we?
Yeah, how do we as a GLBT community, you know?
So funny you say that, because I think we're the ones to blame.
Talk to me about that.
I'm sure I'll get a lot of flack for this because people don't believe this, but I really think that we... Here we, you know, what, 4 years ago, 8 years ago, you know, talking about gay marriage. And when it comes up, we always want gay marriage. And it's really a matter of semantics, because I truly believe that the word religion or the word marriage just, it says something about religion. And religious people feel strongly about it.
Right.
I think they also feel strongly about gay people not being treated unfairly. I don't think they want us to not have equal rights. I think this is a word that means something to them that is so sacred, you know, that they can't see past it. And for us to fight for it is, I think, rather silly. I
mean, would you be thrilled if we had federal civil unions?
I would be. I would be. Because it's, again, it's sort of a religious thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't really... You know, for me, it's not about the religious aspect of it, because, you know, whoever you're with and whatever ceremony you want to have or however you want to get together is your business. But I think if we want to fight for this, and I'm very radical for everything else, but for this, I just think we have to look at the other side and go, this is what their problem is. I think if we would have said we would like civil unions, we'd have them already. And we would be working towards people seeing gay couples left and right who have the same rights, whose kids are at the same schools, and who go to the same events, and going, you know, they should get married.
Right.
But this, they're trying to take, it's sort of, you know, it's the Gaza Strip. These are people who feel very strongly about something that is core to their religious beliefs. And it's hard to shake that. They don't want to hate us, I don't think. I mean, God, I'm in a good mood today if I'm saying that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think we sort of put ourselves there. And Barack, what's Barack going to do? I mean, when he was in the middle of this election, I don't think he had a choice. Now, I gave him hell for him saying that he was not for gay marriage, because he sounded like an idiot, and so did Joe Biden. Joe Biden sounded like a real idiot at the debate
right.
with Palin. So, I don't know. I think we sort of set ourselves up for failure.
Well,
I
think it's interesting because, you know, Kelly and I are watching the inauguration, and Rick Warren, who gave the invocation, very controversial, seemed to try to have a lot of inclusion language in his invocation, but then he ended with the Lord's Prayer, which for me, I love the Lord's Prayer. I say the Lord's Prayer all the time. You know, it's a part of my faith, but it's not a part of the faith of all of America.
Yeah.
You know, to invoke that on that day of inclusion, very, you know, Christian prayer, I think caused a lot of reverberation. And my partner turns to me, and she was like, where is the separation of church and state?
No.
Why do we even have an invocation?
No.
Why are we praying around this man all the time? Like, at this moment, at this state, when I say, you know, state invocation, I just mean, like, you know, something that is of the state, that is not of the... you know, of it's not a social event. This is a political event, a governmental affair to, you know, to swear him in.
Can you imagine if we put our hand on anything other than a Bible? If he put his hand on anything other than, people would lose their minds.
Yeah.
You know, I agree, but we also have a president who said, Christian, Muslim, non-believing. Isn't that what he said, non-believing or something?
I don't remember.
He made mention of people who don't really believe in God in any way, shape, or form. And it was that one little... He does that all the time in his speeches. He does this little bink, bink.
Uh-huh.
That you go, oh my God, he mentioned me. Oh my God, he's talking about me. He's brilliant at it, and it's very slight, so that it doesn't make a lot of waves.
Mm-hmm.
But those of us are looking to, oh, he said us. We are really, really in tune to it, and I think it will change.
Well, the first inauguration speech to ever mention gay and lesbian.
Yeah.
Ever in
how
the history.
How pathetic and sad is that?
I don't have a clue. Mary.
I mean, how good Lord. I bet someone said gay before. I bet they did. They didn't mean, you know, homosexual. But they were going to have a gay time tonight.
Maybe.
I'm sure. I'm sure. You know.
Well, it's probably Mamie and Dwight. He also, this is, I'm sure, very near and dear to your heart with the work that you do.
Liza.
He's going to promote Liza Minnelli.
Thank
he's gonna,
God.
He's going to promote AIDS prevention. He wants to implement a new
Thank
comprehensive
God.
National HIV/AIDS strategy to include all federal agencies. And he wants to empower women to prevent HIV and AIDS, which I think is really fantastic. So, I mean... and he wants to expand adoption rights.
That's wonderful.
That he thinks that people will benefit from, children will benefit from having a gay parent, a single gay parent, a couple to gay parent, or any parent. A parent.
Yeah.
Let's just go and say, you know, there are so many kids today that don't have, that are living in foster care and have not been adopted.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this is a much different agenda than
AIDS
we have
prevention,
seen.
Period. I'm sorry. I mean...
But this is a much different agenda than even the Clinton administration. And thank goodness, you know?
Well, what's great about him is I think he knows he can't go in and just steamroll. It has to be bipartisan. And he's setting up those... That's what Rick Warren was. Well, I didn't like it. But Rick Warren had invited him to come and speak at his church.
Right.
And had invited, the old guy. And so that was sort of a way to come across, you know,
party
the divide. Lines. Yes, and so they, of course Barack chooses them to do this. So I get it. I don't like it, but I get it. And Barack is doing that out across the board. So he's very different than Clinton. I think Clinton thought he could just walk in, do what the hell he wanted to do, found out he couldn't, and all of a sudden all these promises he made, he kind of had to backtrack.
Do we feel like, you know, people are saying, like, he's the first cool president. And I think, like, Clinton was cool?
I mean, that, come on.
I thought he was cool. Remember he played, like, saxophone?
Wasn't he on the Arsenio Hall show with the saxophone? Oh, yeah, that was some stuff.
I mean, that was the first departure. Mm-hmm. I mean, they called him the black president.
I mean, you watch Clinton, he's just, you know, he has that charisma. Not as much as Barack's, but
yeah.
Barack's is something... It's spectacular. I mean, being in the park the day of the election, I hadn't heard him speak live. I was mesmerized.
Yeah.
Absolutely mesmerized by him.
Well, of course, he spoke in my restaurant that I used to own, and I still can't believe it.
I sang there. You don't talk about me.
I do all the time. All the time. I just can't do it to your face because I know you're a shy and humble kind of guy.
I would never mention my credit. I sang there.
Well, it's very exciting.
Wow.
There is some other news going on that's not just about the Obama administration.
You wouldn't know it.
You wouldn't know it, but there actually is, and some things that have already happened in this first week. And so we're going to take you to the news, and then Stephen Rader and I will be back, still dining here at the Bagel.
Mm.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. The Sunday before Reverend Rick Warren gave the invocation at President Obama's inauguration, approximately 100 people protested at his Settleback Church in California. Among the protesters were Diane Olson and Robin Tyler, the married lesbian couple who initially started the lawsuit that led to the state's superior court allowing gay marriage.
In Michigan, the Kalamazoo City Commission has voted unanimously to repeal its new anti-discrimination ordinance, halting the city's referendum that would create a protected class for GLBT individuals. However, Mayor Bobby Hopewell said that he hopes to eventually have an ordinance that will provide protections to gays, lesbians, bisexual, and transgender individuals.
Gilead Sciences, manufacturers of anti-HIV drugs such as Viread, has announced plans to begin testing an experimental 4-in-1 anti-HIV drug early in the second half of this year. The so-called quad pill, if proven safe and effective, will offer an alternative for people who cannot tolerate side effects associated with the anti-HIV medication Systeva. People of African descent are especially susceptible to Systeva's effects.
A Quinnipiac University poll of 1,370 Florida residents revealed that 55% favor banning a state law that prohibits gays from adopting, while 39% want to keep the ban. However, only 27% approve of same-sex marriage, 35% favor civil unions, and 31% support no legal recognition of same-sex couples.
Canadian Glenn Race, who has been accused of killing two men in gay cruising areas in Halifax, Nova Scotia, has been sentenced to life in prison without parole for the murder of a third man, Darcy Manor, in New York. At his sentencing, Race displayed no remorse, saying, "By true wisdom in a reality without a doubt, I am innocent. I can do no wrong."
The group Human Rights First has questioned the decision of a Guatemalan public prosecutor to issue an arrest warrant for trans rights activist Jorge Lopez in an attempted murder case. The group charged that Lopez actually submitted complaints about police misconduct against sex workers shortly before the arrest warrant against him was issued.
In Australia, a court has rejected a bid to reduce jail time for Jessica Stasinowski, 21, and Valerie Parishmuti, 19, a lesbian couple who murdered 16-year-old Stacy Mitchell in 2006. The couple pled guilty to bashing Mitchell with a concrete block and strangling her with a dog chain because she irritated them. Stasinowski and Parishmuti received 24 years in prison.
In Scotland, firefighter John Mitchell received an apology and compensation from his employers after being disciplined for refusing to attend a 2006 Gay Pride March. Mitchell objected to going on moral grounds and received a written warning and an order to undergo diversity training.
Openly gay, Taiwan-born designer Jason Wu has become the hottest name in fashion thanks to First Lady Michelle Obama wearing one of his creations at the inaugural balls on January 20th. His website, jasonwustudio.com, received more than 4 million hits in one day after the inauguration.
Milk, the film biopic of the late gay politician Harvey Milk, received 8 nominations for the 81st Annual Academy Awards. Its nods included Motion Picture of the Year, Leading Actor for Sean Penn, Supporting Actor for Josh Brolin, Original Screenplay, and Achievement in Directing for Gus Van Sant. The Academy Awards air Sunday, February 22nd on ABC.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hello, this is Mary Testa.
And Jackie Hoffman.
From the Broadway musical smash Xanadu. And we have something very important we need to talk to you about.
Happiness.
Speak the truth, Sister Jackie.
Are you content with your life? Are you frustrated? Do you come home at the end of the day and go, "What the hell was that about?"
If so, and we think you might, then you could use a laugh.
A good one, or two.
Or a bazillion. And we know just where you can get them.
At Xanadu.
People, it's the biggest surprise hit in Broadway history, with an adorable love story, fabulous songs, inspired hilarity, all wrapped up in a sweet 90 minutes.
I love that part. You're home in time for Top Chef.
Oh, and if you think we're that crappy 80s movie, think again.
Please, the critics are gaga for this thing. The New Yorker actually called us ridiculously brilliant. I do not lie.
So it's not like we're therapists or anything, but if you want to get happy, you could take pills, or you could come and see Xanadu.
For tickets to Xanadu, visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Club.
For the week of January 26th, 2009, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
When the mistress is away, the maids will play. The Maids by Jean Genet, playing now at the Writers Theater. Don't miss this seductive French production. The Chicago Sun-Times raves that the actresses are magnificent, and the Chicago Tribune calls it accomplished and provocative. $40 tickets are still available. For your tickets to The Maids, visit www.writerstheater.org.
Now playing at the Court Theater is The Wild Duck, the searing tragic comedy presented by award-winning director Charles Newell. The Wild Duck will be performed at the Museum of Contemporary Art through February 15th. For more information on The Wild Duck, visit courttheater.org.
Don't miss the hilarious comedy Don't Dress for Dinner, starring Burn Notice star Jeffrey Donovan and Patricia Callenber, formerly of TV Sisters. Playing now at the Royal George Theater. For tickets to Don't Dress for Dinner, go online at don'tdressfordinner.com.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi, you're listening to Lucy Lawless on Windy City Queercast with my favorite girl, Amy.
So, Stephen, you have new glasses.
It's like, ha! Do men make passes at girls with glasses?
I do.
Do women?
I don't know, but I do. I have to say, I think it's a wonderful metaphor for the new glasses that we're trying to look at the world.
Oh, aren't you?
Through.
Oh, you're clever.
I do, though.
Aren't you clever?
I think you look very handsome in them.
Well, I haven't had.
I have. I'm blind as a bat, so.
Oh, I'm too.
Blind as a bat.
It was my Christmas gift. I tried to get something rather large for large. Well, that could be taken both ways.
Yeah,
so
you tried to get that too.
Something rather large. A muumuu.
A muumuu.
You know, my father's in pants, size, you know, Alabama. So I really wanted a new pair of glasses, and I actually got two. Buy one, get one free thing or whatever.
Nice.
And I found these and had been trying them on and got. But see, I don't, as I was telling you, I haven't worn glasses since sixth grade. Now that was just, what, a few years ago?
Mm-hmm.
But
me too.
But because when I was in sixth grade, I was, you know, short and fat and had acne, and everybody made fun of me, and I had no friends, and I was a complete loser. You know what I mean? I was very shy, and I felt like every time
I can't even imagine you.
Oh my God! When I went back to
short, fat,
oh,
with
yeah.
acne,
oh,
and
yeah.
unpopular.
I went back to the middle school I went to for something in college, and I remember seeing one of my teachers, and I was like, "Do you remember me? I'm da 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 da," and she went, "Oh my God, the fat kid in the back."
She did not.
Oh yeah, she said that. The fat kid in the back. Yeah, that was me. Because I don't know. I mean, I did come out of my shell a little bit, but being a gay kid in school, I mean, come on.
And you knew back then.
Oh my God. I came out, boom, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Look, I'm here. You know, I was.
I'm here, I'm queer, and I'm in East Tennessee. Yes. What the hell?
So glasses always made me feel like I put on all the weight again and was very unpopular, so I never really wanted to wear them. You know, you went to a southern school, you know what I'm talking about.
I did.
But did you self-identify as gay?
No.
In high school?
I was trying to get with a boy all the time.
Well, there you are.
I was all about the power of it all. You know, I mean, that was just what
power
you did.
Power of the penis? What do you mean?
No, just like, to have a him where I came from was very powerful. You know, to have your mister, to have your him, to have your boy.
But don't you think it's still that way?
Oh, I do, in the South. Well, everywhere probably, but definitely in the South.
I think it's the same everywhere.
And I mean, I don't know. I mean, I did not self-identify. Now, I was going to see, like, movies with Michelle Pfeiffer in it and thinking she was gorgeous. And,
well, come on. You don't have
but
to be
she
gay.
Is. I mean, exactly. So God, I never thought anything.
You don't have to be gay to want to sleep with Michelle Pfeiffer.
I never thought anything of it, you know? Until I did, and then I thought a lot of it, and that's all I thought of, so.
I knew, but I didn't know. It's that I dated this wonderful girl in high school, and then there's that thing from Chorus Line where he says, you know, we did a little of this, a little of that, very little of that, And she says, do you want to do anything else? And I said, no, I don't. And that's really when you knew. I was like, I don't have any interest in taking our sexual relationship any farther than it is. And I really had to think about it and come to terms with it. But I have a vivid memory of my father, you know, the alcoholic, taking me out to dinner for a drink. You know, when I was 17, because I'm a senior in high school. We've been drinking since I was 12.
Yeah.
And he said to me, he raised a glass and said, this is going to be the best year of your life. And I put the glass down and I said, well, then hand me the fucking razor blades. Because it's hell. And I don't like it. And I'd rather die. I mean, it was hard. And now I'm getting all these things on the Facebook, which I'm finally begrudgingly enjoying. And all these people that, you make my life hell. I mean, for 4 years of high school, 12 years of school.
Right.
And now you want to friend me and poke me? I mean, come on. What is
poke
going
me,
on?
I know. I don't even understand this terminology.
And they want to know about my life. And I'm like, I didn't like it the first day. And I didn't like it the last day. I didn't like it every day in between. And I don't understand that.
But don't you think that other people, even if they are seemingly happy or seemingly top of their game, you know, that it's all an act for most of them?
Yeah. I mean, my 10-year reunion, I had people walk up to me that I really didn't remember anything specific, apologizing. Walking up to me saying, I'm so sorry for the way we treated you. We treated you so poorly. You know, I've thought about you for a long time, and I wanted to say that. And I'm like, okay, that's great. Yeah, but it was a different time. Kids,
yeah.
I don't know if it's the same for kids today, but yeah. I couldn't come out. I mean, come out. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
I would have died. They would have killed me. There's just no way. So that, from glasses, comes that. This is sort of a sense of hiding, I guess. I don't know. But now it's kind of sexy.
It is sexy.
With the bald head, it sort of
the
does
good skin.
Like, oh, bless your heart.
The built pecs.
Oh, no. Say it again. Say it again.
Anyways.
Say it. Oh, God, love you for a liar.
Hey,
God,
I'm telling you.
I have ice cream in the fridge right now. I can't wait.
We're going there later, right, for dessert?
So cold out.
Do the Jewish delis have ice cream? I don't even know. Do they eat ice cream?
I'm sure they do.
Well, you know, all you'll need now is to see Barack Obama in a certain kind of glasses, and everybody will be wearing them. Jake Brew's stock has probably gone up.
Oh, it has.
Michelle Obama and Malia and Sasha. And, you know, and how exciting that little Jason Wu did her inauguration gown.
Oh, yes.
And is an openly gay designer. Well,
there you go.
What gay? What does, you'd have to kind of be an openly straight designer, wouldn't you? Wouldn't that have to be
exactly
the thing in the fashion world?
Oh, my God.
Did you think she looked pretty?
I think she did. Everyone's giving her hell about that dress. I think Michelle is the most fashion-forward first lady we've had in forever.
She had the color schema of, like, our kitchen circa 1968 to 77.
Did you like it? Did you like it?
I did. You know, I thought that I thought the dress was pretty. I didn't really love the rhinestone collar on it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a bit garish for her face. It was harsh up around her face. But I liked the colors immensely. I loved the olive green gloves. I mean, it did. It reminded me of, like, Mad Men, you know, circa 1960s to late 70s.
I think that's the thing about her fashion is that we're not all... Certain ones of us are not going to always like it. You know, she's not going to charm and sweep all the people off of their feet with everything she wears. But that's because she's really on the cusp of it.
Yeah.
I mean, did you like everything that Sarah Jessica Parker wore in Sex and the City?
Oh, good
no.
God. No, most of it. I hate it. But
she's really on the cusp of what's going on fashion-wise.
Yeah. Well, I really liked it. I wish that it had closed so it didn't blow open so much when she was walking. I thought that was... but I loved the color of her shoes and the color of her gloves was like the color of my mom's wedding. So I've got these pictures of my mother's bridesmaids with their shoes off, and it's all these dyed, like, moss olive green satin shoes, which were kind of the shoes that she wore. And I think
my mother wore a dress that was the color of Spam.
Really? My mom's dress was white.
What is
but
the
I
color?
Mean,
well, mother the couldn't, you know, you couldn't do that in my family. My
oh,
God.
Lord.
White!
White!
Do you take this woman? Yeah, he has.
Yeah, he has.
A lot.
But I thought she looked really pretty, and I'm excited to see you know, I really do think it will be interesting to see the power that she will have.
I think she will.
In this White House, and I think it will be mighty. Mm-hmm. And I think that's exciting, and it will be threatening. It will. I venture to say that they are the new Clintons in many, many, many ways. And I will be interested to see if they anger the right enough, because the Republican Party is going to have to do something to come back in 4 or 8 years. It'll probably be 8. Most people think they will have no problem based on
this approval.
I mean, something drastic would have to happen for his approval rating to go down. So for the Republican Party to have 8 years to build themselves up, you know, they're going to have to discount something. And it's just going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting.
They're
going
to have to reinvent the entire party.
Yeah.
The entire party. I don't know. I think Barack's going to do a lot of wonderful, wonderful things. I don't think that they're going to... because what, to me, what Barack is doing is taking the best, and I'm not a political, you know, pro by any means, but I think he's taking the best of Lincoln and the best of Roosevelt.
Yep.
And putting them together.
Yep.
I think he...
and something modern, with a dash of something that's very, like, Steve Jobs and...
Well, you know, it's a fireside chat, now it's a address on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's Lincoln's cabinet. I mean, it's really listening to all sides that are at the table and listening to them.
Yep.
And saying, okay, I've listened to this. I'm going to make the decision now.
And yet we have no gay person on the cabinet, which is... and we have no more women than we had on the cabinet for Clinton. So, you know, are we making strides? You know, is this centrist position going to affect the change we want? I mean, it will truly be up to how he maneuvers these people and how he controls them. You went to an event this week. Tell me about the event that you went to for Will Schultz.
Oh, it was amazing. It's amazing.
Who is Will Schultz?
Will is an actor in town. I don't really, I don't know him very well. Oh, thank you. I don't know him very well, other than he acted in my friend Philip's play,
uh-huh.
Perfect, at Red Orchid, I think, a few years ago, or a couple years ago, a year ago. And he's been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, I believe.
What is the thing with pancreatic cancer?
I know.
Coming out?
And of course, being an actor and, you know, working as a freelance artist, he doesn't have health insurance. And... the bills are just piling off. I think he's out of the hospital now. So a lot of people are doing a lot of little events for him. And my friend Eric sort of works at Hydrate. And they do these wonderful things where you give a donation at the door and they give two hours of open bar for your $20 or what have you. And usually it's a few $100. Friday night the place was packed.
Yeah.
From 9 to 11, and they raised over almost $4,000 for Will. It was the most amazing sort of congregation of actors sort of coming together for a common cause. It was amazing. And there's so many things coming up.
Well, the reason I bring it up is because, you know, that truly, like, brings up what I think Barack Obama called us to, which is that we have to take care of each other. We have to take care of ourselves and what is going to be kind of our pledge during
this
time.
We're going to do that many, many more times coming up.
Yeah, I mean, and on the small scale, you know, it doesn't all have to be like, my pledge is to end world hunger. You know, my pledge is to, like, put my 2 cents forward to help somebody in need, you know?
Well,
my 2 cents is to be a better neighbor. My 2 cents is to be a part of whatever community I'm in,
exactly.
Neighborhood. Or
my birthday was just this past Thursday, and the party was Friday, and I called up Philip, and I said, you know, for everybody to sort of gather and to give me something, or a card, or whatever... I don't need
anything
right now.
Right.
But would it be weird if I told people that don't know Will to come and give $20 to celebrate my birthday with me at this thing?
Right.
They loved it. And many people came and said, hey, how are you doing? And patted me on the back and whatnot and gave their money to Will. And that's what's going to have to me, that's what's going to have to start happening is, come on, I don't need anything.
Right.
But there are a lot of people in this town that do.
Yeah.
And across the country that do. I'm amazed that people don't think we're in a recession that's falling into a depression.
Yeah. We're already there. I think we're already in a depression. We are just on so much Prozac and in so much denial that we don't feel it.
Well, I think you just
like
have
having
to look
your
at
leg,
TV.
It's like you have your leg amputated and you don't know it because you've had an epidural from the waist down. And we don't know it. You know? And we're going to wake up and we're only going to have one leg. And that's really what is going to happen. It's going to be shocking.
Yeah.
We know there is still so much more to talk. We're going to do it on the next show.
Oh, yes.
It's going to be a big two-parter. because I want to talk about the new senator, and I want to talk about the Oscar nominations and much, much more. Uh-oh. So, you know, a couple of days, folks, click back on our site, because we'll have a whole other show with Steven Rader and
we'll have some latkes.
And we'll have some latkes. Or with some cheesecake. I don't know what we'll have. Here with the bagel. With a schmear.
Wow.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now. Yeah. Yes, it is.